best way to start? We already had a great start.
Yes.
The best way for me to begin is in prayer. Father, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for bringing us together. It's such a great thing to worship and to sing and to hear your word and do it all together. Your kingdom is an amazing place where there is no color, there is no gender, there is no hierarchy, Father, but we are all one in Christ. Thank you so much for being with us. Help us today to open our hearts to look at Andrew and what he was like and try to implement some of his character in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And wouldn't you know it? There it goes. All right. Today, this Sunday, will be the 10th of our character studies. We probably got a few more left, but this will be the 10th one. But so far, we've had Daniel staying true to your convictions, and everyone needs a Jonathan, and the unchanging character of Christ, Eli, the influence is leadership, and Balaam. We have Daniel, again, it takes courage to remain faithful. And Rahab taught us about stewardship. And Haman told us about how pride goes before the fall. Today, I want to speak about Andrew, the brother of Peter, one of the apostles. Why do we do character studies? We do character studies to help us, because by focusing on individuals in Scripture, we can profit in a lot of ways. We can learn about the nature of God as he interacts with people, with humanity. We are all different, and God has the capacity to interact differently with each one of us. We also get to see the human experience and highlighting the traits or characteristics that would be worthy of imitation and those that are worthy of avoiding.
Amen.
Today we're going to look at Andrew, and oh, that's so cool. And he had a habit of bringing people to Jesus. He had a habit of introducing people. A couple of things that I've learned about Andrew is that some of his admirable qualities his faith was such that he believed that God could do anything.
Amen.
There was no limit to his God. We've got to ask ourselves, is there a limit to the God we know? Our prayers will probably show how far God, our view of God goes. He was also willing to admit when he didn't know something. He would ask questions where a lot of people might say, if I ask this question, people will know I'm stupid. He wasn't afraid of any of that. And so we're going to start today in Luke 6:12. Who has Luke 6:12? Is that you, Nora?
No.
Oh, Chris. We're going to look at Luke 6, verses 12 through 16. You don't have to have the paper.
Okay.
And we're going to have, none of the scriptures are going to be on the slides, so y'all want to open your Bibles or turn on your device.
12 through 16. Right. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, who he also designated apostles, Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor.
Thank you. You might wonder, what can we learn about Andrew from such a generic passage? But Jesus spent the whole night praying about the 12 men he was going to choose. He knew he was going to choose 12. He had a lot of disciples. It wasn't just the 12. We know that in the beginning of the book of Acts, when they had to replace Judas, that they said, from all the men who have been among us since the beginning, since the time of John's baptism, let's choose one to take Judas's place. There were a lot of people who followed Jesus at that point. If you were going to choose people who would be the only way for the rest of the world to be saved from their sins, what kind of characteristics would you look for?
Humility.
Humility.
Boldness.
Boldness.
Courage.
Yes.
Reliable.
Reliable.
Teachability.
More humility, yeah. And when we read the Gospels, we know that they didn't have that to start. They had to learn that, just like we have to learn it. What other qualities might you look for?
Teachability,
yeah.
I would say consistency.
Consistency, yes. So we know that Andrew had to have some impressive traits that stood out to Jesus, that he took note of him, that he was willing to make him an apostle. What we're going to do through the rest of the conversation here is we're going to try to find traits of Andrew. There's one that I'm really focused on, but there's a lot of things that we can learn about Andrew that are worthy of imitation. So we're going to start looking with, there we go, in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. Is that you?
No.
Nope. Okay.
The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he looked. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which means, translated, is Peter. When translated, is Peter.
Sorry. Great. Thank you. This is the earliest record of Jesus meeting any of his disciples. So this is Andrew's, obviously, his first encounter with Jesus as well. What can you discern about Andrew from reading this? Yeah, you didn't know you were going to have to work hard, did you?
Well, I kind of think about Rahab a little bit, how she right away saw God moving. And Andrew was also able to see the same thing in Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. What else can we discern from about Andrew?
He wanted to share what he found with others, so he went to find his brother Peter to help, you know, to bring him to Jesus.
Okay, yeah, very good. Anyone else?
He was a follower of the first of John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And he was already seeking the same thing.
Yes, that's right. Andrew was pursuing his relationship with God long before he met Jesus. And some among us were like that ourselves, that before somebody studied the Bible with us and showed us how to walk with God, we were already trying. And, you know, I know that we just spoke about Logan the other day, Friday night, that's something that he's been doing for a very long time.
Amen.
Anything else?
I noticed that it says in verse 40, it says he had heard what John had said when John said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And so I see that Andrew really paid attention to spiritual people in his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
He acted like a disciple long before he was called to be one. And something I know, it's several have mentioned it, that Andrew was eager to introduce people to Jesus. Or, yes?
Yeah. He seemed to understand hierarchy. Because he's a disciple of John. And when Jesus said, "Come follow me," he left John.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very good. So we see that Andrew brings people to Jesus. That's something that it's good if your hand doesn't shake so much while you're trying to do the touch screen. We have the next verse here is Mark 1:16-20.
As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
Amen. Here we see the calling of the first disciples. They'd met already. I'm sure they've even heard Jesus preach a time or two before he called them. But he's calling the first disciples. That's pretty exciting. What can we learn about Andrew from this?
Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus told them to come follow him. They dropped their nets. And we think about Peter a lot of times when we read this, but Andrew was right along with him. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. What kind of work did Andrew do?
He was a fisherman.
Yeah, he was a commercial fisherman. I mean, he wasn't just casting a pole and reeling it in. Being a commercial fisherman is some tough work. It's back-breaking. Backbreaking. I mean, there's a show. It's called The Deadliest Catch, and it's about commercial fishermen. And it's incredible the danger and the injuries that these men endure. I haven't seen any women on it. I'm sure that they could do it, but it is, even today, we're the 21st century, and it's still that dangerous. Can you imagine what it was like in the first century, in those little boats that they had?
Yeah.
You know, we've read where there were Jesus and the disciple are on the lake, and the squalls come up to the point that these fishermen are screaming at Jesus, "Don't you care if we die?" The water's a dangerous place to be. So we know that he was a tough guy. He had to be a tough guy, didn't he?
Yeah.
What else can you see from this section of scripture?
He prioritized his walk with God when he just left.
Yeah.
Work and
mm-hmm. You think anybody was holding his job for him?
No.
No, it's amazing to have that kind of faith. I would love to have that kind of faith that I could just stop doing what I'm doing to earn a living and go and because Jesus told me to do something. But I don't know if I have that faith. Andrew had that kind of faith. And faith like that influences other people.
Amen.
Last time I was in this seat, I talked about influence is leadership. That his faith, beginning back when John says the Lamb of God, from then on, his faith has influenced other people. We know that his faith influenced Simon, but we also read that just down the beach a little bit, James and John left behind everything with their dad so that they could go follow Jesus. And I believe that Andrew's faith influenced them as well. You know, Andrew has an amazing, I'll go the other direction, impact on people with his faith. If somebody could read, who's got John 6? That's, John 6, 1 through 10.
Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs that he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up to a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one of us to have a bite." Another one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there.
Thank you. Thank you. We know what happened with the rest of this section of scripture. We know that Jesus multiplied that little bit of fish and few loaves of bread so that he could feed those 5,000 people. We know what Jesus did. What can we learn about Andrew from this section of scripture?
He was trying to solve the problem. You know,
yes.
There was a problem. We're going to feed these people. And everybody was standing there talking about it. He went out to look for who had some food that we might work with. And even though he didn't have a lot of faith at the moment about what he found, he still was trying to solve the problem.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And problem solver is a character trait. Some of us have that naturally. While I don't like change, I really love problems. I love to fix things, to solve a puzzle, anything like that. Some of us are problem solvers by nature, some aren't. It's a characteristic, though, that we could all emulate. Yes?
I was just kind of adding to what Gloria said. I think it's really amazing how Andrew recognized, okay, this is the truth of where we're at, and this is what we have to work with. You know, like rather mm-hmm. than being like, oh, you know, we can't do it, we don't have, you know, he was like, okay, this is what we have to work with, so let's work with it. I feel like that with our small church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are a small church, you know. Let's work with it.
Work with what we got, yeah.
Rather than try to be something that we're not, you know.
Okay.
And it shows that he had faith in what John said about Jesus being the Son of God, because he knew he couldn't do anything with those two pieces of bread and a few fish, but he knew Jesus could.
Right, yeah.
One thing you see throughout all these passages with Andrew is a sense of urgency.
Mm. Okay.
And that urgency drove his faith, his urgency drove him to action. His urgency led him to solving problems too.
Yes. And even though he didn't have the answer per se, he looked for possible answers. Mm-hmm. Gloria said that he's a problem solver. He looked for what could we answer this with.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other people, Philip was one of them, how do they approach it when there's something that seems impossible? Most of us, we just... That's our response. We got this, gotta get this done. I don't know how we're going to do it. What do you think?
Yeah,
that is the way that most of us are with this kind of thing. But yeah, Andrew said, let's throw out some answers. What do they call that? I know that a couple of people here have been in brainstorming. Yeah, that's what's going on. They got a bunch of people sitting around looking at a problem, and Andrew says, we got this bread and we got this fish, and he reasoned that Jesus would have the answer from there. And that's what we learn, is that Jesus did have the answer, that and Andrew wasn't in those brainstorming sessions. What do they say about dumb questions? Yeah, the only dumb question is the one that doesn't get asked. He presented this thing with this boy, and he wasn't afraid of being ridiculed or anything. He's just, what can you do with that? That's a really cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew looks for the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that we, you know, it's kind of part of being the positive mindset as opposed to being a negative mindset. When I was young, and even for a couple of years as a disciple, I was a negative person. I came to a point and that I didn't like that about me, and I made every effort to change it. When the light just went on for me, though, I'd been a disciple for 11 years, and I married my bride, the most wonderful woman in the world. And at that time, the day I said I do, I also became not just a husband, but a father. And I found myself being like my dad, being negative. I was always looking for a reason to say no. And if I couldn't find a reason to say yes, then my default was no. But I hated that. I didn't like it. I saw that in myself one specific day, and I changed it. I became the person who was looking for a reason to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can't find a reason to say no, my default is yes.
Amen.
Nice.
And it the kids like it. and I kind of get a mantra out of that I use a lot. I am always looking to catch somebody doing something right.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Whereas I used to be looking to always catch somebody doing something wrong. You pronounce the word wrong. Ha! You could have done that 20 seconds faster if you did it my way.
Mm-hmm.
But I changed because I wanted to be more like Jesus. That's what these character studies are supposed to be doing for us. And by the way, Andrew brings people to Jesus. Somebody have John 12 for me?
Yes, John 12, 20 to 22. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus.
Amen. Anything stand out about Andrew here? Does anything jump out right here?
Well, you could have gone to someone else other than Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Philip, oh, these people want to see Jesus. What do we do? Yeah. Andrew says, let's bring people to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that is just the most pronounced thing I can see about Philip. I mean, about Andrew and all the studies, all the scriptures that mention him.
I have to say that I love how Philip knew to go to Andrew. Mm-hmm. Like, there must have been something about Andrew. Like, he's the one who's gonna know where Jesus is. Are we approachable like that?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It could be that Andrew had, you know, it was always kind of the person to do the right thing. So maybe it's kind of like a habit of going to Andrew because he always knows what the right thing to do.
Right.
Problem solver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good to be known as somebody to go to. I mean, not everybody wants to have problems all day, every day, but it's good to be known as a problem solver.
Yeah.
So we're kind of at the end here. What is the whole purpose of doing character study? You know, we'll focus on a specific person and search for characteristics that are either worthy of imitating,
yeah,
or something you should avoid altogether. And we see both. That's a great thing about the Bible. We read about David, and we see all his bad traits along with his godly,
right,
faithful traits.
Right.
And because we are all a mix of good and bad. When we look here at Andrew, we can make it our goal to imitate one of these things we see in him. And prayerfully, it's one that you're not strong at yet. when we do a character study, there's a lot of things that we can, you can go a lot of ways. You could study, I was amazed when Richard said, I'm going to do Abraham. Because it takes you a whole week just to read every place that has Abraham in it. There's so much information about Abraham that it could be overwhelming to okay, what one trait should I look for? Well, then you could have somebody like Matthias. You all know Matthias, right?
No.
Oh, come on, you know Matthias? He's the guy that replaced Judas. He was an apostle, and we don't know anything about him. So Andrew's kind of in the middle of that.
Yeah.
There's enough so that you can begin to form an opinion about Andrew. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. This is good with all Bible study, is to get enough information to have a good opinion. Although I believe that most of the time we should be willing to be persuaded that we could be wrong. Because I know I've been wrong. Once, anyway. What are the most pronounced characteristics that we see in Andrew that are worth imitating? Two or three, really.
His priority to make his relationship with God the top, you know,
number one.
Okay.
I really appreciate how he steps forward and tells other people about mm-hmm. Jesus. He's very quick. I like just the urgency that I do see that. I think that does stand out, that he's not one to sit around and think about it. Just go ahead. Let's just go to Jesus.
Right.
I think Andrew, he's content with his lot in life, which is yes. following Jesus. And a lot of people want to come to this earth to make a splash. You know, they end up doing more harm than good.
Right.
And I think the ones who make the impact the most is someone who follows Jesus.
Yeah. You know, that's a really good point. I was having a conversation with a brother yesterday, and we talked about young people going into the ministry and how it's so obvious the ambition they have. It's not usually 100% holy. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of selfish ambition, the desire to, I want to be a Bible talk leader. Oh, I'm going to lead this zone. I'm going to go in the ministry full time. And not everybody has that contentment with wherever they are. I can't even picture him being one of the apostles who arguing about who's going to be the greatest. I can't picture it.
Right, that's right.
Now, for me, I find two things that really stick out about Andrew. One is that Andrew brings people to Jesus. I might say it again. Andrew brings people to Jesus. But the second thing is that it's not a scary thing for him. It's a natural thing because he is so relational. He said, I have a friend I'd like you to meet.
Yeah.
You know, most of us, we talk about, we call it evangelism. We have to give it an official name and everything. And we can be afraid to just talk to some, hey, do you read the Bible? Do you know Jesus? We just don't always, we're not so comfortable with it. But Andrew, it was very easy for him. He said, I know this guy. You should probably meet him. Mm-hmm. And I think that each one of us should make it our goal to be more like Jesus. I've told you a couple of times about my commitment to pray for an hour every day. I told Chris yesterday, I haven't made it every day, but I'm most every day I have. And one of the things I do is I pray for each of you by name, and I pray that you will invite one person a week into a relationship with Jesus. You know, we can share our faith in a lot of ways. You can invite people to study the Bible or to come to church. A lot of people really like the fact, you know, when I share now that, oh yeah, we meet in my house. Oh, you don't go to a big building? No. Oh, I don't like the big buildings. there's all kinds of ways you can share your faith in Jesus. My prayer is that each of us can do it at least once a week.
Amen.
Let's pray. And I'll pray for the communion as well.